Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Todd Zwillick with you. Well, federal prosecutors have charged seven people with running what could turn out to be the largest money laundering operation in U.S. history. Now, the case revolves around an online payment company called Liberty Reserve. They sound responsible enough, don't they? But investigators say Liberty Reserve laundered $6 billion for criminals from around the world, including drug dealers, credit card fraudsters, child pornographers, and a lot of other people. The size of the operation has been described as staggering. This one online network is thought to have processed over 55 million illegal transactions for a million users, including at least 200,000 right here in the United States. So the question is, how do you launder $6 billion online? Jeffrey Robinson is here to help us answer that question. He is author of The Laundry Men and is known as one of the world's leading experts on international financial crime. Hi, Jeffrey.
Nice to see you. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And that's really the question. $6 billion in virtual money is what we're talking about. This is all online, shadow transactions of virtual money, not the kind of money laundered. This is not taking a sack of cash into the bank like in Scarface and they launder it for you.
Well, it almost is. But I mean, when you ask how do you launder $6 billion, this is exactly how you do it. Now, you have to understand there are two parts to this. The first part is what Liberty Reserve was doing, just like PayPal. They were moving money from point A to point B in blips on a computer screen. There's no actual cash transaction. I want to pay you. I get on my email account and my Liberty Reserve email account and I say, pay Todd $6 billion, and $6 billion moves from my account to your account, and there is no record of that transaction. Suddenly, you have $6 billion in your account. But there's another stage. You actually have to buy the LRs, which is the digital cash, like Bitcoin.
Right.
So you've got to purchase those. So you go to an exchange, like the place where you see change, Bureau de Change, and that sort of thing. You go there, and you say, I'd like to buy some LRs. And these guys are licensed. Liberty Reserve was not. But these guys are licensed, and they say, okay, how much do you want? And I say, $6 billion worth, please. And you hand them $6 billion in used fivers, and they give you a credit to your email account in the name of bogusperson at lr.com, and they now have you credited with $6 billion. LR doesn't know who you are. These people don't really know who you are. They don't know what you're going to do with it. You then pay a transaction fee to move – I pay the transaction fee to move the $6 billion to you and add 75 cents. This was the amusing part of it. A 75-cent transaction fee called a privacy fee. For 75 cents extra, they will erase
– On
your $6 billion, they will erase all record of the transaction.
And so the double anonymity here is really the point, and that's what the Liberty Reserve allowed all these criminals – to have, which is anonymity with Liberty Reserve, anonymity with the exchangers, and just basically numbers switching money online very easy.
That's it. I mean, it's a push of a computer button and that's it and it's done. Now, I send you the $6 billion. You want to now buy some AR-15s so that you can overthrow a South American country. So you get the arms dealer and you say, how much are the automatic weapons? And he says, $4 billion. You say, thank you very much. Ship them to this address in Panama, in the Panama Canal Zone. And you now transfer the $4 billion to him.
Right.
And no record.
And no record. And then it raises a couple of questions. With all of this anonymity, the amount of forensic work, and we're not going to be able to get into the details, but I'm reading about this and I'm listening to you talking, thinking, my gosh, how did they ever – catch these guys in the first place? I can understand general scrutiny, like, wow, this is murky. But to actually get in there and be able to find out who to arrest.
Well, the guy who started Liberty Reserve is a guy named Budovsky, who had been an American, gave up his American citizenship, became a Costa Rican of Russian origin. And he's a wanted fugitive. He was arrested in 2006, I think, 2005, for running this sort of a thing in New York. He got 5 years probation. He jumped and ran to Costa Rica. So he's a wanted fugitive. He was arrested in Spain. He's been on everybody's radar for a long time. And they've been looking at LR. What they did was an undercover sting. They got guys inside buying LRs. And they did it with names, and I said bogus. One of the undercover sting accounts he filed, he says, my name is bogus. And that's what he gave as his name.
And that was fine.
And that was fine. Nobody checked. Nobody cared.
The prosecutor in this case, you know, one wonders also, 200,000 illegitimate users right here in the U.S. laundering money. you also think they must have been mixed in with legitimate people. Bad people and good people use PayPal. And the prosecutor said, hey, if you're legit, come forward. You'll get your money back. No problem. With sort of a wink. He doesn't think anybody was really using this legitimately, were they?
No, and there probably wasn't. Because if you wanted to do it legitimately, you use PayPal. I mean, if you want to buy something on eBay, you don't use a name called Bogus. You use your name. And you pay for it with a credit card or you pay for it with PayPal. You do whatever you have to do. And it doesn't matter if somebody can see the transaction. It's the people who don't want these transactions to be seen. For example, if you want to get on a kiddie porn site, the last thing you want to do is use your credit card because it's traceable. There's a money trail. So what you do is you go to LR and you buy some LRs and you pay the porn site with LRs and they don't know who you are. You don't have any money trail and you can download whatever you want. Those are the people who were using LR. I would venture to say there was almost none, virtually none, transactions that were legitimate.
The legitimate virtual currency that everybody knows about that we mentioned at the top is Bitcoin.
Yes.
And it seems to me that Bitcoin's going to get a lot more scrutiny now.
Bitcoin must be trembling in their boots right now because, again, there are two parts to this. One are the Bitcoin transactions, which can be transparent and may not be transparent. You can work all sorts of different ways with Bitcoin. The other thing are the dealers who are selling you the Bitcoins. So that, again, there are two parts to it. The dealers who are selling the Bitcoins have to be licensed. Bitcoin has to be licensed. And the federal government has been looking at Bitcoin very, very seriously. I think consumers have too. After all, there's something called the South Sea Bubble, and your listeners can look that up. Bitcoin
highly volatile.
Isn't backed by anything except one guy who says it's worth something. I don't know.
And before we let you go, Jeffrey Robinson, it seems to me that the criminals who were so good at Liberty Reserve are taking lessons from this and learning new ways to launder money.
They're always two steps ahead of the government. Absolutely. But the government's getting pretty good at this. Unfortunately, so are the criminals.
Pretty good at the scrutiny.
Yeah, and the criminals are getting good at staying two steps ahead.
Liberty Reserve just got busted in a $6 billion money laundering ring, the largest ever online, possibly the largest in U.S. history. And the prosecutor in that case doesn't think that anybody involved was using Liberty Reserve in a legitimate way. Hey, that's what PayPal's for. That's what Jeffrey Robinson says. He's author of The Laundry Men and one of the world experts on international financial crime. And that's what this was. Jeffrey, thank you.
My pleasure. Anytime.